What You Missed on the Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lynn. Only on Money FM 89.3.
Just 2 weeks ago, Malaysia made history, and so did Malaysians, by voting in an opposition coalition, moving them into power for the first time in six decades. The shock election results toppled the Barisan Nasional government, which had ruled Malaysia since the country gained independence in 1957, and ousted then Prime Minister Najib Razak, who is now in the midst of investigations for his involvement in the 1MDB scandal. Pakatan Harapan's win brought 92-year-old Dr. Mahathir Mohamad back into the fold as Prime Minister for the second time after his first stint from 1981 to 2003. But was the election the result of sheer luck and coincidence, or was it the result of brilliant social media strategizing by Pakatan Harapan? Kuala Lumpur-based Centre of Applied Data Science has been studying voter sentiment in the lead-up to the election. They collected more than 155,000 tweets over March the 1st to May the 5th. The centre's founder, Sharala Axrid, is on the line from Kuala Lumpur to tell us more about the insights and patterns that they managed to piece together from their research. First up, Sharala, welcome to Money FM. So we understand the Kuala Lumpur-based Centre of Applied Data Science studied voter sentiment in the lead-up to the Malaysian elections. You looked at over 155,000 tweets. What did you observe?
So it was interesting, right? We were very excited, with all the Facebook and situation that was happening. We were going to see, study how does social media is going to affect before the election, and hopefully we could do a study after that. So that was the thought behind that, and it was very interesting when we started looking at the data that, Pakatan Harapan had a very strong social media presence with Barisan Nasional, and it seemed to us that, it was very clear that they were reaching out to people through social media and not necessarily via Twitter, but Twitter was the point that people would take that and then resend it back in WhatsApp messages, and so it was digital all the way. So when we first did the study, we were quite surprised at the finding, but we did not publish the full report as at that point of time, because we wanted to make sure that if this is true or we failed, we will still publish back the report saying that we were on the right track or not. But it was clear to us that Pakatan Harapan only had digital and social media to reach out to the sentiment of people out there.
Wow, that is absolutely fascinating. Yes. Did you observe, what could you tell about the retweets as well? Were more people retweeting about Pakatan Harapan because Pakatan Harapan was reaching out to voters to begin with? Or, could you tell whether there was just more interest in talking about Pakatan Harapan?
Okay, so I think as you mentioned earlier, right, we had one government for 60 years.
Yep.
So we were, traditionally, I think the country and the ruling government at that time was heavily dependent on traditional media and traditional promises, which kind of forced Pakatan Harapan to use digital methods to reach out to people. And
right.
Also, one of the greatest things that we saw is foreign media was aggressively monitoring tweets from Pakatan Harapan.
Right.
Because, the trust on what's happening in the local media, it became a natural way to communicate, because we personally feel there was not much option to follow through. Yeah. And if we saw the pattern, if you look at our report, the way the pattern worked out on the influencers, if you see the pattern, it's amazing. The influencers are all equally tweeting and influencing and talking about it. Whereas if you looked at Barisan, there's only like one influencer and there's not much retweeting. So that's why we kind of thought, we looked at the pattern and we were like, wow, this is amazing. It's trying to tell us something. Let's dig into this more.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, do you think that responses on social media are a result of changing voter sentiment, or was it the changing voter sentiment as a result of what's on social media?
So when we initially did the study before the election, what was interesting for us is positive sentiment was as much or equal to neutral sentiment. That kind of got us, wondering. The negative sentiment was not really that big. But as the election approached and you could see certain actions that happened during the election where people started retweeting more and more about things that they were not happy or touching the sentiment of people, then you could see the neutral party started moving towards more to positive. So something along the line, when during the election where things were happening, we could actually literally see actions by certain parties had made people who have not decided, you know, what they want to do, changed their decision literally less than a week before the election.
Could you tell at any time when voter sentiment turned towards Pakatan Harapan?
You could see a pattern that every time that, you know, if you look at the word cloud, you could see that when this thing called, you know, bandera in Malay, which means flag, there was some things that was done Tun's party about the flag and putting the logo. Every time such a thing happened, you could see it takes two, you know, within 2 days, the sentiment would change drastically. You know, either people would say, like, I'm coming back to vote. We're going to start up a carpool. And so you could see that. So every time an event happens, and within 2 days, you could see the sentiment rising really high. And the last weeks were really clear that we could see that it just constantly. This is the trigger points when that happens.
Okay, so you mentioned word clouds. Were you crunching the words that were being tweeted? Share with us a bit of your methodology in figuring out these patterns.
We have something we call it called Manglish, right? So you have Malay and English in a language where when people tweet, we have to look for words that will reflect the sentiment, not necessarily what it means. So word cloud is some of the key words that we had to pick up that people were talking about. And then we would match it to whether that is a negative sentiment or it's a neutral sentiment. When we did this for each party, and then we could see that such words as bandera, which is flag, diamond, which refers to rings, these are the common tweeted words that kept coming up, that the influencers kept reposting and commenting on it. And this is how the methodology we use, an API that could actually collect this. But we had to redefine based on the language in this part of the world to understand the sentiment of what it really meant. Not what it actually said.
How accurate do you think is artificial intelligence in predicting outcomes such as the election?
My data scientists say that study shows that we could only be about 70-odd% accurate. So I don't know. With the, you know, the way AI works is the more data you have, the more accurate it will become. And over the period, no, I think by the next election, I think the accuracy will increase tremendously as more and more people use digital and social media.
Was the tool able to detect nuances in language, sarcasm, for example, humor?
Yes. But we've got to train. So what we do is we would take some data first and we call it the training data, and then we will train the algorithm to recognize this. No, and then it will pick it up as we go. So the more data we would use, the better it will get in picking some of it up. Not all of it. And bear in mind, Manglish, having several two different language in one sentence was not the easiest task to complete here.
Just amazing. Really incredible. So to the question, what role did social media play in this election? What would your answer be to that?
Malaysia has about 70-odd% penetration of internet in every household. And we're talking about smartphones. Each Malaysian has about almost 2 phones per person. So what has happened is when there's no access to offline information, people turn to social media to get the latest update. So it would be naive to think that people would have not done that, and that's exactly happened, and it'll continue more and more.
What about the final battle cry just before polling day? Mr. Najib promised tax exemptions, toll charge exemption, public holidays. Well, Dr. Mahathir promised change for the better and to save the country from a cashless king leadership. How much do you think these final pleas actually influence the swing voters?
Absolutely. I mean, from the sentiment, it almost sounded when they were promised the tax exemption and stuff like that, it became a situation that people did not thought it was a desperate situation to win, and Tun's messaging to call upon in rights and what we have to do, and this is Malaysian pride, people took that very personal. So dignity, you know, versus we could get something off here and there was the trump card there. People really felt it was about time that we took pride in what we did.
In your report, you say Pakatan Harapan is a clear winner in terms of social media maturity. What do you mean by that?
This was an interesting finding for us. We realized that circumstances have actually formed more than opposition party to use this as a medium to connect to people. So they had the jump start, and at that point, probably that's the only access they had, because they would not have access to local media, everything else was controlled, and that actually gained momentum as they, you know, grew better from the last GE13 to now, and they were way much ahead in how they were doing this than anybody else thought. Nobody realized that how far ahead they were with this.
So is this about social media trumping mainstream media, or is this about people just leaning in the direction of Pakatan Harapan ready for an opposition to begin with?
I think the sad point at that point is because local media couldn't be trusted. People did not rely. And you can see from the pictures, the graphs that we put, that even foreign media were not listening to local media to know what is happening during the election period. So that's what happened. It's about the authenticity of information, and people felt that they could get these from social media more. We were questioned, right? Oh, you're looking at Twitter, and that should be for urban people and not rural. And it was interesting at that point, I actually say Twitter is being used by urban, but people take snapshots of that and start resending it back in WhatsApp. And the fake news bill didn't help a lot of people wanting to just put it up in Facebook, but then it got passed on in other means.
You have a graph of the positive ecosystem. Could you tell by geography where the influences were located?
Not by geography, but by their Twitter name, we could know that they were medias, they were big players within a certain party. From that, we could know by the names. You could know whether they are from Singapore, or this person is from Penang, because they are very active DAP candidate. That's the only way we could kind of figure out.
So you could even look at the media in Malaysia that was being their Twitter handles, right?
Yes. We could see clearly Channels News Asia was monitoring both this report and influencing it exactly the same way throughout. It was fascinating for us. Like, that's one of the insights we kind of took away.
And what about local media?
Malaysia Kini was there very strongly. So anybody that's on digital, Free Malaysia Today, were very aggressively looking at this to report. So you can see the trust on this was much higher.
Do you think there are takeaways from this? I mean, I'm sure there are some government strategists listening in wondering what can they take from your report about strategizing for an election?
I think very clearly it's the younger people who played a very important role in winning this. And because Malaysia has a high percentage of the younger generation, which they are much more savvy using digital stuff than trying to read a newspaper. And I think if you're in the government and you have to move away from what you know and have traditionally believed and start tapping into technology and the younger generation to see how you can get your promises and your thoughts out to them. So because our generation of politicians, we do have the oldest prime minister in the world now.
Yes.
But the younger generation is, that's exactly how Obama campaign worked. The younger generation was the one who's doing the campaigning. And we have to start realizing the percentage of age group in this country plays a real important role, especially for GE15.
It's the founder of the Center of Applied Data Science based in Kuala Lumpur, Sharala Exrit. And thank you very much for talking to us right here on Money FM 89.3.